Good morning.
Good morning.
We are so excited to have you with us today for this time that we have to worship God together. Especially, we're thankful and blessed if you are here with us as a visitor. We want you to know that you are our honored guest. Let's imagine that a church group chartered a bus for an outing to Branson, Missouri. The bus left Crandall Thursday morning. Everyone had a great time visiting the attractions, going to the shows, and eating out. The bus was on the way home last night. It was struck by an 18-wheeler. Everyone on the front row of the bus died last night. In this seat was Abby. Abby was 4 years old. A beautiful little girl with curly hair and big eyes. Abby loved to play with dolls and sing. But Abby died last night. Where is she now? Abby's family will grieve bitterly. But there is no reason to feel sorry for her. She always loved the song, "Jesus Loves Me." But she had no idea what that actually meant. Now she knows. Revelation 22 describes heaven as a lovely garden. Paradise means garden. Abby is running and leaping in a garden that's more beautiful than anything she has ever seen. But her favorite thing about paradise is being with Jesus. He does love her. He is so warm and kind. Abby is perfectly happy. In this seat was Beth. Beth was 30 years old. She was Abby's mother. She was a good mom. She was a religious person. Her parents had her sprinkled when she was just a few days old. Beth was married to a kind husband, a faithful member of the Lord's church. When they married, he had hoped that he would be able to teach her the truth about the biblical plan of salvation. She attended worship with Abby and her husband, but she wouldn't listen. Beth would often say, "I wouldn't trade the feeling that I have in my heart for anything." Beth died last night. Where is she now? What is Jesus saying to her? I don't know. But perhaps the conversation sounds like this: "Beth, why were you never baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Lord, I was sprinkled when I was a baby. Beth, baptism is not a sprinkling. It is a burial. And besides, you don't even remember that sprinkling. Where was your faith? Why didn't you obey me? Lord, I did say the sinner's prayer and ask you into my heart. Beth, where does the Bible say one word about a sinner's prayer? I don't know, Lord. I don't know either, Beth. You put your trust in the wrong things. You trusted the man your parents taught you to call pastor. You trusted the feelings that were in your heart when you should have been listening to me. He who rejects me and does not accept my sayings has a judge, and my word will be his judge on the last day. Well, Lord, did you not even hear me when I prayed? Yes, Beth, I heard you. I love you. I gave myself on the cross to die for you. But I have a question. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? In this seat was Carl. Carl, 45, was a friendly and likable person. Everyone at church loved it when Carl came for worship. But he wasn't there very much. His health was perfect, but he was very busy. His boys, both teenagers, were deeply committed to sports. They learned that from their father. Carl died last night. Where is he now? What is Jesus saying to him? I don't know. But perhaps the conversation sounds like this. Carl, what was the most important thing in your life? What do you mean, Lord? Carl, you read the Bible from time to time. What does it say in Matthew 6:33? Carl is surprised to realize that he remembers verbatim every word of the Bible that he ever read. Lord, it says to seek your kingdom first. I did that, I believe. Carl, why did you miss Bible classes on Sunday mornings? Well, Lord, to be honest, I didn't sleep well on Saturday nights. Carl, did insomnia ever keep you from going to work in the mornings? No, Lord. Carl, where were you last Wednesday night? I went to the school to help my son's coach with football practice. I know that sounds bad now, Lord, but I was just trying to be a good dad. I always wanted to put my family first. Carl, you did put your family first. I told my disciples that unless they love father, mother, son, or daughter more than me, then they are not worthy of me. Carl? Do you remember the church at Laodicea? Yes, Lord, there's something about that in Revelation. That's right, Carl. I sent the Laodiceans a letter. They were self-satisfied. They felt rich and comfortable. But I told them that they were poor and wretched and pitiable and blind and naked. They were lukewarm. Carl, what did I threaten to do with lukewarm Christians? To spit them out of your mouth, Lord. In this seat was Drew. Drew was 17 years old. He was raised by his grandparents. They brought him to church all the time when he was a little boy. At age 12, Drew was baptized at camp. But when he entered high school, Drew no longer wanted to attend worship. At first, he made excuses, and then he refused to go altogether. His grandparents pleaded with him and prayed for him, but they were getting old and they didn't feel like fighting with Drew. They were excited about his going to Branson. They hoped that spending time with other Christians would rekindle his interest. But Drew died last night. Where is he now? What is Jesus saying to him? I don't know. But perhaps the conversation sounds like this. Drew, why did you turn away from me? Well, Lord, I was embarrassed. Why were you embarrassed? The popular kids at school didn't think that going to church was a cool place to be. Drew, do you remember what Moses said in Exodus 23 and verse 2? Drew did remember. His youth minister mentioned that verse in a devotional one time. Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. That's right. In my Sermon on the Mount, I said that there are two ways in the world. There is a narrow way which leads to life, and there are few on that road. And then I said, there is a wide way which leads to destruction. Drew, the crowd is on that road. Why did you follow the crowd instead of following me? Well, Lord, I heard preachers on TV saying that no one ever falls from grace, and I thought I would be okay because I confess you as Christ and I was baptized. Drew, that popular teaching is a lie. The writer of Hebrews says, do not forsake the assembling of the church. A Christian who sins defiantly no longer has an atonement for that sin. A rebellious Christian has spurned me. He has trampled on my blood. And he has outraged the Spirit of grace. In this seat was Evelyn. Evelyn was 60 years old. She had 7 grandchildren. She was a wonderful grandmother. She often baked cookies for the kids and prepared special meals. Spending the night at her house was always a lot of fun. Evelyn was such a kind lady that she didn't feel the need for God's forgiveness. Evelyn would often say that she was just as good as most churchgoers, and even better than some of them. She went to church sometimes, but it wasn't to worship. She only went to be nice whenever a friend or family member insisted that she go. Evelyn died last night. Where is she now? What is Jesus saying to her? Again, I don't know. But perhaps the conversation sounds like this. Evelyn, why did you reject me? I didn't really reject you, Lord, did I? Did you confess me? Did you tell other people that you loved me or believed in me? Not exactly, Lord. Evelyn, do you remember the time that you agreed to a home Bible study just to be nice? Yes, Lord. Do you remember what it says in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 to 33? Evelyn does remember those verses, word for word. So whoever acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. So Evelyn, why did you deny me? I didn't deny you, Lord. I just didn't feel that I needed to be forgiven. I was a good person. I was kind to my family. I was a helpful neighbor. I paid my taxes. I was a good wife. Evelyn, if someone can earn a place in heaven by being good, then why would I go to the cross and suffer such a terrible death? I don't know, Lord. I hadn't really thought about it. Evelyn, all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. Have you ever lied? Have you ever gossiped? Have you ever resented or envied someone? Have you ever been impatient with your husband? Have you ever been so angry with him that just for a moment you wished he were dead? Yes, Lord. Then you are a sinner, aren't you, Evelyn? Yes, Lord. In this seat was Frank. Frank was 50 years old. As a young man, Frank lived an immoral lifestyle. But when he met his girlfriend, who later became his wife, everything changed. He turned his life over to Christ. And from every day after that, he was a faithful husband and a good father. Frank was a deacon in the church and a Bible class teacher. He was the kind of guy that if you needed something done, that he had a servant's heart, and he was willing to step in and do that. Frank died last night. Where is he now? What is Jesus saying to him? Frank, welcome home. I see your name in the book of life. Lord, I'm so happy to be here. I don't deserve to be in your presence. I love you so much. But I know that I did so many things that hurt you and betrayed you. Frank, my grace is sufficient for you. Everything that you've done is forgiven and forgotten. Frank, come closer so that I can hug you. and tell you that I'm here to wipe away every tear from your eyes. And you will never experience any more death or sorrow or pain. A church group chartered a bus to Branson, Missouri. There was a terrible accident. Everyone on the front row of the bus died last night. You were on the front row of the bus. Where are you now? What is Jesus saying to you? If you're sitting here right now and you know deep within your heart that you're not ready, then we have this pool of water waiting for you. If you know that being immersed into Christ is what you need to do. Or perhaps there is something else that is keeping you from God, and you know that if you had been on the front row of the bus, then you are not ready to meet your God. If you have any need this morning, then we want you to come as we stand and as we sing.